This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. It is a Friday morning. Happy that you chose to listen to the Mark Cox Morning Show. I know a lot of you were up already because I've been looking at a post I put up on Facebook when I got to work this morning, and there are already quite a few compliments and comments, I should say, on this post. And if you slept well last night, if you were bundled up warm in your bed, maybe you were concerned because it was only 67, 68 degrees in your house. I don't know what temperature you sleep at.
Not that.
I drove in this morning and I decided to make a loop around City Hall on my way in. I found, spotted, three human beings sleeping outside this morning. On my dash, it said 8 degrees. You just said 5, and Channel 4's graphic shows 4 degrees. There are human beings sleeping outside in downtown St. Louis this morning.
Well, you just had the woman who they say was homeless or unhoused, according to Channel 4, and she died outside, I think, City Hall, and it sounds like they're saying she essentially froze to death.
Well, the coroner said it would take them a while to determine cause of death, and in the post I read, you know, Elliot Davis has been complaining about this in several posts the last few days. He's begged City Hall for like a week or two to put a heating bus out there overnight, just to park a bus, leave it there from 8 p.m. until 8 a.m. and give people a place to go in and warm up. And the city had refused to do that until this woman died the other day. And then they put one out for 2 hours and then sent it back to the headquarters.
So,
according to Elliot,
I have mixed feelings about this because obviously I believe I'm called to help people like that,
right,
to a degree. That doesn't mean handing them cash and saying do whatever you want with it. But I do believe I'm called to help the poor. But at the same token, there are shelters and, you know, maybe some of them are short on beds, but I assume a shelter would not turn someone down in temperatures like this. So there is part of me that thinks, well, you hopefully were offered an opportunity to be inside a heated shelter, hopefully with a bed, and you, for whatever reason, declined it. So you can lead a horse to water, but you can't force it to drink.
I agree.
So that's my only thought on it, too, is like, well, I don't want anyone sleeping out in this cold, but I'm sorry, if you have an opportunity to go to a shelter and you choose not to, that's on you.
That is, yeah. And I've long made that argument when it came to the homeless encampments during the summer. When it's this cold, I think the least the city government could do is put a bus down there in case somebody wanted to go in and warm up for a little while. And obviously they've chosen not to do that. I mean, I drove the block around City Hall and back down to 14th Street saw people sleeping outside. No sign that there were any social workers or anybody out there trying to help them. I think it's a shame. I invited Elliot Davis to join us this morning, and he's going to be on in the 8 o'clock hour to talk more about his efforts to try to get City Hall to do something and maybe what their response has been so far. It is a mayoral election. I would think maybe they would be a bit more concerned about optics, if nothing else, if not lives, during a stretch of time like that. But we'll see what happens. I was really surprised. This is somebody who, one of the most miserable nights of my life was when I slept out with my son to get his freeze out badge during his Boy Scout years, right? And he went on to become an Eagle Scout, and I'm very proud of him. But we were unprepared that night and didn't have enough covers or sleeping bags, and it was miserable. And I see these, and it was 30. And I see these people out here, and it's 4 or 5 degrees. I mean, mm-hmm. That is just, I don't even know how they're not already frozen to death.
Yeah. Were you not allowed to bring more items to stay warmer? That was on operator error.
It was a father failure.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I didn't want to call you out on that.
And it was sleeting, and I was too cold to get up and run to the truck where I actually had one more blanket. So anyway, it didn't matter. It's all in the past. I'm just saying, I know how miserable that is when it's 30 degrees. I can't imagine what these people are going through out here this morning. I just got to say, that's pretty pathetic. All right. Boy, I tell you, lots happened yesterday. Kash Patel got voted in to the FBI about the same time as I was addressing the local members of the FBI National Academy. These are local police officers who've been invited up to Washington, D.C. to undergo about 6 or 8 weeks of training and course study with the FBI on you know, crime, solving crime, approaches to crime, that sort of thing. It's a badge of honor for the officers to get to go, because only a couple get invited every year. And I had an opportunity to talk to them, so I was actually talking to them and a few members of the local FBI office just as Kash Patel's vote was coming in yesterday.
And did they have any reaction to it?
No. I mean, everybody was. I wouldn't say nervous. I'm like, do we have any members of the FBI in the audience? And a few hands went up, and I'm like, I think you're about to get a new boss. I'm looking at my phone, and I know the vote is going on even as we speak. So,
do we know if cuts are coming to the FBI? Because, man, I was talking to someone last night who works for the federal government, and she still has her job, but she knows a number of people who have lost her job, and disabled veterans who have lost their jobs. And it is kind of sad when you hear about this, because even though I fully support that we need to trim some of the fat, so to speak, like we need some of these positions cut, some people are just not working and you should not have your job, so I support it, but part of me feels like the way they're going about it isn't the best. The more I hear from people who are impacted, and I don't want to just get roped into this whole sympathy thing,
Yeah. But
it feels like it should be done on a more case-by-case situation. Like if you're a good hard worker and your position is valued, it seems like you should stay, versus it seems as though they're trying to make these cuts so quickly that they're just like blanket, you know, if you were within the year of your probationary period, you're out.
I don't know. All I know is that it's what they promised to do going in. And I'm sure there will be individual cases where mistakes have been made. I heard Musk comment on that the other day. Where mistakes are made, we will try to correct them.
That's good.
I heard that directly what he wants to cut are people at the D.C. level of the FBI. Mm. So maybe we'll hear more about that today as Kash Patel is out and about. I did stay up later than normal last night watching the USA-Canada hockey game. Mm. While it was a bummer that we lost, we did lose in over 8 minutes into overtime.
Yep.
To probably the best group of hockey players in the world from Canada. They really are. They pointed out last night before the game started that among them, there are 14 Stanley Cup winners. Wow. on that Canada hockey team.
Like Colton Parayko and
Jordan Binnington.
And only four on the American team. Mm. So clearly a more skilled hockey team. Maybe they didn't have the same passion the Americans were playing with in game one. But I was proud of them. The 2-2 tie, they tied it up. They never gave up. And it's easy to lose in overtime in the NHL when you get penalty shots, right? And the
it was just regular 5-on-5.
Oh, I thought it was a penalty shot.
Nope.
So I'm wrong about that. But you did get beat last night by potentially the next Gretzky, right? Is that Connor McDavid described as one of the best hockey players in the world is the one that beat him. So congratulations to a great effort. I love the fact that they were playing the clip from the 1980 hockey team movie. What was the name of it? Miracle. Before the game started. That was pretty awesome. They would cut away. They would have the coach giving the speech, and they'd cut away to the faces of the current players. It was pretty awesome the way they produced it.
ESPN
yes, it
did
was.
A good job.
And did a good job last night. But sorry to hear that they lost. That really bummed me out when I woke up this morning. There's no way I was sacrificing another 20 minutes of sleep just to hang around. And it would have been more than that because there were about 14 minutes left when I turned the phone off.
In the third. Yeah. And then they did, since they didn't do the shootout or 3-on-3, they did just regular
OT.
Sudden death. There was a 15-minute break between.
Oh, so yeah, I'm really glad I didn't
see. What time did you go to bed?
Probably about 9:20, roughly.
It ended around 10:45.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow,
yeah, good thing you didn't try to stay up.
Yeah, no kidding. That would have been long. Anyway, what I did do was text Carl Middleman after it started and said, I know we have a tradition here on Friday of playing the Fray for the national anthem, but this morning we're going to mix that up just a little bit. In fact, we're going to skip our top stories because I've gone really long here this morning. So, Carl, why don't we just go straight to our national anthem, which happens to be, and I don't know the lady's name, the one that sang the national anthem
last
night.
Isabel Leonard.
She killed it. Crushed it.
Boston Pops.
Yes, here we go.
Why aren't you playing?
We think.
Oh, I know why.
Hold on.
Because someone decided to change the things without letting us know. That's fantastic.
Love it when that happens.
Yeah, I don't know why anyone would do such a thing like that. I have an idea.
Sure, we can find out. Oh, boy. All right.
Okay.
Nice.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Here we go. Welcome back. You know, lots of praise for Carl Middleman there playing something other than the Fray on Friday.
You know, they did lose.
They did lose. I will say the lady, I listened specifically to find out if the Boston fans would boo the Canadian national anthem.
Which they started to.
They started to. At first there were a smattering of boos, and Michelle and I are like, no, let's show more class than that. We don't need to do that.
It's Boston.
And then it kind of faded out, and then all of a sudden you could hear people singing along with the national anthem. Canadians, obviously a lot of Canadians, but a lot of the American fans were singing along with it. The singer, I'm sorry, did a horrible job.
And she's Canadian.
I can't carry a tune in a windstorm, but that lady was off key. On several of the notes, she was off key. I have no idea who she was. And I don't know their anthem that well, but I've clearly heard it a few times over the years. And it was not well, which only made the lady who sang our national anthem
look
that much better.
Did they ever, Carl, you probably know the answer to this. Did they ever lip sync those national anthems?
They do at the Super Bowl.
They're always lip syncing at the Super Bowl?
Yes.
I thought obviously they would have a backup version in case there was some issue with the mic last minute.
No, they have the words on the screen, so if they get lost, they just have to look up.
Huh. I did not know that. Wait a minute. I thought that, remember that girl, I guess it was, no, it wasn't the Super Bowl. Remember that girl who, she was younger, like in her 20s, and she totally bombed the national anthem, and it turned out that she was drunk. That was, what?
I do remember.
What, oh, yeah. That was just a, what was that? Just a football game?
Was that the NBA? No, it wasn't the All-Star game.
It definitely was not the Super Bowl, because no. She wasn't that well known, but. Okay, huh. So she wouldn't be lip-syncing there, obviously.
Oh, it might have been the WNBA championship.
Oh.
I think that.
Okay, that, well, that would make sense.
It was recent, so I don't know.
Well, regardless, I did want to point out that I was proud of the fact that the booze kind of died off, and that really never became a factor in the game, I don't think, although the guys played their hearts out. So, all right, enough on hockey. So yesterday, while I was speaking to that fine group of police officers, really from, I mean, there were people there from the Highway Patrol, a lot of local police departments, St. Louis City, St. Louis County, obviously St. Charles I saw there yesterday, Bridgeton. I mean, there were lots of officers and people that came up and spoke to me, and it was so great getting to talk to everyone. One thing I brought up to them, Kim, and we're going to have a guest on to talk about this, was AI. Because I wanted to know what role AI is playing in policing these days. And believe it or not, it's playing a growing role, probably beyond just what you would think, which is like, well, at the end of their shift, all these officers have to go back and write reports on incidents they attended. Wouldn't that be easier if you could just...
Well, I know they do that. Some departments do.
Some do, and there are services out there that they offer these days. But there's also... There's a liability factor there that I hadn't thought about, right? Because basically the AI will write the report for you. In a court of law, a smart attorney is going to say, did you write that?
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't, how do we know that the computer got it right?
Well, like, but
you have to sign off on it.
Yeah, I thought a lieutenant, in one of the departments in St. Charles County, a lieutenant, I think that rank at least has to be the one to sign off on it.
So, it's playing an increasing role. And there was actually somebody there who I met yesterday who runs a company to try to help officers with this. I didn't realize it, but apparently in some cases, these body cameras they carry these days can... when they record incidents, they also can take notes, basically, and there's technology that would allow a report to be written based on the video that was taken at the scene with voices and transcripts and all that. That's kind of controversial. So we're going to get somebody on here talking about that coming up maybe next week. In the meantime, we got Kim on a Whim coming up next. Stay tuned.
Kim on a Whim.
I'll be honest, I really don't follow the NBA. I enjoy watching basketball, but if I'm going to watch it, it's probably going to be college basketball.
Amen. Amen to that, sister, because I hate the NBA, generally speaking. Don't enjoy it at all.
You know how much I don't enjoy the NBA?
How much?
I didn't even know that the All-Star game was just held last weekend.
It was several mini games leading up to an All-Star game.
Had no clue.
No one liked it.
Apparently no one did, because viewership for that game was near all-time lows.
Well, they're going to learn a lesson in the NBA and the NFL at some point. Because they've turned the All-Star versions of that in, they've emasculated these professional athletes. They're all scared to death of getting hurt, so they basically play flag football in the NFL, and in the NBA, they just don't try. They don't even, there's not even the appearance of effort except on one or two of the players, and that's it.
It was the second least watched game in the event's history. 4.7 or so million people tuned into that, but that's a 13% drop from the year before. It's just going downhill. And to your point, Mark, I think what people were probably frustrated about was just hours before tip-off, LeBron James, which is obviously the biggest name, said that he had lingering ankle and foot discomfort, and that was why he made the decision to not participate in that game. And you think about all these people who spent potentially thousands of dollars to secure a ticket to that, and some of them may have been willing to pay that just to see their biggest... The star of the game, which is LeBron James. Now, I don't know how familiar you are with PK Subban. I remember him. He played in the NHL for about 10 years or so, but I remember talking about him when I used to live in Nashville.
He did the intermission show on ESPN last night.
So I want to play a soundbite here in a second from PK Subban, but he was a great hockey player, and so like I said, he played for the Nashville Predators, which is how I am familiar with him. But he goes on ESPN, like Carl said, and he basically torched NBA culture.
Good.
And I listen to this.
If you're really about sports, then you're about two things, your teammates and the fans. And I'm sorry, it doesn't matter how much money you're making. When you do not show up to play, you're letting your teammates down. When you do not show up to play, you're letting the fans down that are paying you 40, 50, 60 million. I don't care if you're getting 300 million. Congratulations. But these people in here are paying $2,500 a ticket, $5,000, that are blue-collared, hard-working people. If you don't get your head wrapped around that, you shouldn't be in pro sports. Because how are we going to grow? How do we expect you to be an example? Well, guess what? You don't want to be? You are one. You're on the biggest stage. You just said it. They make the most money. You're an example. You got to show up. You got to take that on. I'm sick and tired of making athletes greats, all-time greats, that aren't the best examples. Those are the people that we want our kids to follow.
Amen. Look, I understand injuries happen. I can't imagine what you'd be doing to your body if you're playing a sport like that day in and day out. But it is frustrating when you feel like these people are like, my pinky finger hurts and I can't play in the game. I have to shoot it out.
They're a little spoiled for sure.
I think PK Subban makes a really great point, and he might be a little biased considering he was in the NHL for about a decade, but he was talking up the NHL and how all these stars just played for the Four Nations hockey tournament that we obviously just saw happen, unfortunately. Canada won last night.
Actually played hard enough to get injured.
Yeah, I mean,
there were
big names, and I don't know what tickets cost for that tournament, but I would...
He just said $2,300
tournament?
Yeah, for
that game. I thought he was talking about the NBA.
I thought he was talking about the NBA.
That's what they were for last night's game.
Okay, all right.
I mean, that's not a little bit of money if you're paying that per ticket. So you want to see the players you came there to see. I mean, obviously it's fun to just go be at a live sporting event and be with other fans and just watch a game like hockey. But many times the people are going, I think, because there's one or two of the players who they really, really like and they want to see them play in person. It's why you pay hundreds of dollars to go see Sammy Hagar time and again, because I guess it's not the same. I know it's not the same, but...
It is the same.
It's not the same of you watching... It's not the same as you watching him on a YouTube clip as it is seeing him in person, right?
No, not at all. I agree with you completely.
Yeah, I would agree. YouTube is better. Silenced. On mute.
No. YouTube is at his prime.
He releases a lot of stuff.
He does.
More recently, he does Facebook Lives all the time. That's off the subject. The point is, you're right. I want to go see him in person, and I want to see him give it his all, even if at 75, it's not the same all it was at 45. He's still out there dancing around the stage and singing at the top of his lungs and doing a great job.
Yeah,
I agree.
If you're going to be paid potentially tens of millions of dollars, you better get your hiney out there and you better play. Unless you have a very valid excuse, then that's ridiculous. I mean, how long before the game did LeBron James really know he wasn't going to play? I mean, I feel like that's deceitful, where he probably knew days out or whatever and knew that if he pulled his name that it might have an impact on ticket sales. So, of course, you let people buy the tickets assuming you're going to see him, and then all of a sudden you're like, darn, I can't play. My ankle still hurts.
Yeah, who knows who all was involved in that decision-making process. Like he might have said, I don't think I'm going to play. And they came back to him and said, well, the NHL wants you to make that a game-time decision because people are less likely to buy $2,500 tickets if they don't think you're going to be there. The other side of that is it denied somebody a roster spot who would have had to be pulled up to play because he wasn't there. And they didn't get their shot at the All-Star
game.
Good
point.
Yeah.
There's a lot of factors here.
There's a lot of criticism that about LeBron James, that it's always about LeBron James. And why Carl hasn't used that drop yet since we've been talking about him, I don't know.
Well, should we give him a minute right now to pull it up?
I think he's digging for it in the archives right now.
LeBron James.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Obvious.
Yeah, I know.
I've been critical of some of these celebrities, in particular some of these artists, and the way they portray themselves, what they wear and what they sing about, the lyrics, things like that, and how inappropriate they are. But PK Subban, he says, these are the people we want our kids to follow. You know, whether I like it or not, I assume my son will be into sports because I like sports. My husband very much loves sports. And so I just kind of assume my son will grow up. I would love to get him into sports at some point. And these athletes are going to be the kind of people that he looks to, you know, of like that success, you know. And so whether I like it or not, I can tell him, hey, you don't want to follow this person for X, Y, and Z reasons. Ultimately, he's still going to look to them as kind of a role model to a degree.
Yeah, I wonder how much we've lost control over that. I heard a good discussion the other day on the Annie Fry show. She was talking about her own son's involvement in sports. Annie coaches some of her kids' sports, and she's pretty involved in that. But she pointed out something I think is a truth about youth sports these days. You'll want Easton to get involved in these things, but you're going to reach a point where it becomes more about the individual player than about the team. Because when they get to a point where there are select teams, there's an incredible amount of pressure that's been developed by, quite frankly, coaches and people who are benefiting from it, I'm sure, in some way, maybe financially or otherwise. They recruit kids to different select teams. So a kid may be playing on your team and you may have great team chemistry, and then they think their parent think there may be a better opportunity for them on this other select team because so and so get to see them. And it's kind of taken, in her words, I think her words, I don't want to put words in her mouth, some of the joy, it's taken out some of the joy out of youth sports. Because kids aren't there to be taught that they're there for the team. They're looking out for number one. And that is so obvious in pro sports these days, that all of these people are most interested in themselves and how they're enriching themselves, or whether they're at risk of getting injured, than they are to play the sport.
Well, and look what NIL has done to that to a degree,
college,
right?
Yes, I agree.
I think that's just the mindset in our current world. It's just me, me, me. And I do understand this feeling of, well, if you are dreaming of playing in college, football, baseball, you do need to be with the right coach and be in front of the right people to see you and all of those things. I absolutely understand that. But it is sad when you think about this whole team mindset. It's not just for me, it's for the greater good of the team, has kind of been lost. But again, I think it's a cultural shift that we've seen. It's like I see people post all the time about, like, you have to love yourself, and it's, you have to love myself first before I can love anybody else, and just make sure you say no to everybody else. You need to support yourself. And it's not that's 100% wrong, but the way we are going about it is wrong. Like, you can love other people even if you don't love yourself. I hope you love yourself, but you can still love other people. It's just been awful. We try to do something good, and just like we have done time and again, we swing the pendulum too far, and it's playing out right now.
I only regret that my son is not awake yet to hear this conversation this morning.
Hey, Brad, could you wake up right now and listen to this on the Odyssey app? You can rewind it.
He thinks LeBron James walks on water.
Wait, okay, thank you. We should just say LeBron James as many times as we can and make Carl play it.
Was it lit? Thank you, Carl. We have a group text between me and Brad and his best friend Corey and Corey's dad Rick, because Rick and I are both convinced that Michael Jordan is the GOAT, hands down, and the two younger members of the text believe that it is LeBron James, hands down. So we have a lot
more
of fun with
Kobe.
Him. Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, I loved Kobe. I'm just saying. You know, the GOAT discussion is...
No, I'm saying that they choose LeBron over Kobe.
They do.
I know, I agree with you. It's Michael Jordan.
Yes.
But
you know when you felt like you were going to get you felt like you were going to get a good shot, you'd be like, Kobe.
Yeah.
Now I feel like it's like Caitlin, right? I've heard people say that. I've caught myself saying that.
That's funny.
How often are you shooting a basketball?
I don't shoot
Lots.
Very often.
Carl, every morning before I come to work, I try to shoot a few hoops. Thank you for making me laugh. I really appreciate any laugh I can get right now.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to be back in just a minute. We still got lots of good stuff for you this morning. We're going to talk more about Kash Patel in as head of the FBI. We got Jim Carafano on later on Ukraine. We're going to talk to Congressman Mike Boss today on the Capitol beat at about 7:35. Stay tuned.
Germany's entire defense is subsidized by the American taxpayer. There are thousands upon thousands of American troops in Germany today. Do you think that the American taxpayer is going to stand for that if you get thrown in jail in Germany for posting a mean tweet? Of course they're not, right? So the point that I try to make to our European friends, and I think that they're our friends, I believe that, I know President Trump does, is that friendship is based on shared values. You do not have shared values if you're jailing people for saying we should close down our border. You don't have shared values if you cancel elections because you don't like the result, and that happened in Romania. You do not have shared values if you're so afraid of your own people that you silence them and shut them up.
Hey, I tell you what, that guy is, I believe, number 48. Can I just tell you this? Every time I watch J.D. Vance in a public setting like that, where he's got give and take and back and forth with people, he impresses me even more. The speech he gave last week on AI just blew my mind, because he's got such a grasp of that issue in ways that I had not considered. And then yesterday, of course, you knew at CPAC when he spoke, the issue was going to come up about his controversial chewing out of Europe for not minding its own house while the world burns, right? They've got so many problems that are self-induced in Europe. And instead of admitting it and acknowledging that they need to do something about it, The one of the ministers over there broke down in tears. I played this video for you last week. He said, oh, what he said was so mean. And he started crying and the audience clapped for them. We are doomed with some of the leadership that's in Europe right now. Do you watch Candace Owens at all?
I used to. She's been a little off her rocker lately.
I don't know, man. You got to watch her series on Emmanuel Macron's wife. Who she makes a pretty good argument for is a man. And the worst part of that whole story is whether or not, if the relationship really started when he was a minor, there's a very good chance that the guy he married is a pedophile. I mean, that's what she's suggesting in this series of reports she's done. Anyway, that's just one example of the mess that is Europe right now. And they are not used to a strong American leader willing to stand up and tell them that to their face, not just to their face, but in a public forum. Look what you're doing to democracy in Europe. You claim to be the face of democracy, and you've got open borders. You're letting anybody in who wants to come in, and then you're surprised that there are no-go zones in places like Paris and London, where it's not safe for, Kim, it wouldn't be safe for you to walk down the street in some of these places that have been overcome and basically are ruled by effectively Sharia law. If you walk down one of the streets without your head covered, you would very likely be attacked.
Well, can't in some of those places, you'd only have your eyes covered. You have to have your hair and your legs, everything, head to toe.
It's that bad.
Woman.
And they've allowed it to happen. And Vance has called them out on that. So he calls them out on a lot of things and makes many of the same points, obviously, as the president. Go to cut number 10, Carl, please.
We've got to continue to unleash American energy. That's part of the reconciliation bill. We've got to make sure that other countries stop taking advantage of us. That's a big part of President Trump's tariff policy, is we got to stop being taken advantage of. You know, of course, we want to make the President Trump tax cuts permanent and extend them into the future. We want no taxes on tips. We got to do some of the things we talked about during the campaign.
Dude, every time he speaks, I understand more and more why Donald Trump picked him. Because when he did pick him, he wasn't my first choice.
Mm-mm.
He wasn't the person I thought of. Clearly, Trump had been around him enough to realize what was in there.
And now we see it more and more and more all the time. One last bite here where he talked about peace and the fact that the United States can be the key driver of that. Go to cut seven, Carl, please.
Peace is in the interest of the American people, and he's going to fight for it for the remainder of his administration. Wherever war breaks out, he's going to be the president of peace. Now, he, of course, is a very good negotiator, a very good businessman. He recognizes that a lot of these issues are tough. It's going to take a smart statesman to figure this stuff out. But we've got that in the White House. And I really believe that we're in the cusp of peace in Europe for the first time in 3 years because we have leadership from the Oval Office, and we haven't had it in 4 years in this country.
And Vladimir Zelensky is about to, if he hasn't already, learned a very valuable lesson. The people who publicly cross Donald Trump don't fare very well. So he tried to back out of the deal on minerals, and Donald Trump called him out publicly on it. And he met yesterday with somebody from the State Department, and he immediately walked that back. So the next thing Trump says will probably be nice about him, and we'll end up getting exactly what we want out of Vladimir Zelensky, and they're going to get peace in Ukraine as a result of it. Coming up, we're going to talk more about Kash Patel as the new director of the FBI with a retired executive from the FBI. And, of course, we'll get to a check of business with Nicole Murray. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.